Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph, on the third line of the new Mishnah. Hamafkid Peros Eitzachavei Reit. Let's say Al deposits some, I'm going to say Peros are wheat or barley, sort of like we would call grains, Eitzachavei Reit. Al deposits them with Bob. Afilu Hein Avudin, now Bob's got them, and even if they are, I don't know, getting eaten a little bit by the mice or getting a little bit moldy, lo yiga bahen, Bob shouldn't touch them. Shem Gamliel Aymer, we box for Shem Gamliel, meichon bifnei beistin. He should actually sell them in the presence of beistin, neshehu, because that's essentially kind of like meshiv aveda lebailim, giving back or returning something that was lost to its owner. It was getting lost and it might have continued depreciating in value. That's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reasoning of the Tanakama? You shouldn't even touch it. We have two opinions. Rav Kahana here that we circled, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak at the end of the next line. I'm Rav Kahana. When a person works for something and accomplishes it themselves, it's quite valuable to them. Says Rav Kahana, Adam writes, Bekav Shalai, a person would prefer one measure of his own things, Mitisha Kav and Shachaverai, than nine Kav of somebody else's stuff. But he prefers his own thing, so don't go and sell it. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we circled Amar. Well, there's another concern, and says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we're concerned that this fellow, Al, has some other produce untithed, produce tevel, and he is going to declare that the stuff he deposited, with Bob, is going to be the truma or the miser for the produce that he has somewhere else, and we have no idea, and that's the problem. Again, Chayshinan, we are concerned, Shema, maybe Al, Asan HaMafkid, maybe Al made the made this stuff, which is with Bob, truma u'miser al-Malkimacher. And, you know, obviously, if Bob goes and sells it, then other people would be potentially eating miser or even truma. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source. 2.5 lines starts here. It seems to indicate otherwise. In this Tanaic source, it says, Hamafkid peiros eitzel chaveroi, so it's the same case as ours. Al deposits some produce with Bob. Hareze lo yiga. Bob shouldn't touch them. Lefikach, I don't know lefikach. And it seems like because of that, balabais oisoisan terumu maiser al makamacher. The rightful owner of this produce, knowing that the person he deposited with and going to do anything with it is allowed to declare it Chumar Meiser for other Tevel produce that he has wherever he might be in the world. That's in the Tanaic source. Now, Bishlam, I squiggle underline the Bishlam, and one line later I squiggle underline the yellow. Bishlam ala Rav Kahana, who above had said, basically a person prefers his own stuff as opposed to somebody else's, Hainu de Katani, then it makes sense that the Tanaic source 2 lines ago said the word, I put this in right angles, Lefikach. In other words, since a person would prefer his own stuff, the one he deposited it by isn't going to sell it. And therefore, a person can declare it, that same person, Al, can declare it Trumer Meiser for other tell that he has. Ella, however, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, how do we understand the Lefikach? It's almost circular. In other words, because he could have made it Trumo Meiser from Malkoy Macher, therefore he can make it Trumo Meiser the Malkoy Macher. That just doesn't read properly. So the Gemara says this is the way to understand the above Tanaic source. Hashta dam Rabbanan loy nazvin de chayshinan. Now, since Rabbanan have said, better not sell that produce because we never know what the status of it is. Lefikach, the balabais says on Shrumo Meiser Malkoy Macher. It's basically just a little bit clearer, a little bit more explanation, and then the Bryce reads fine. That's the end of the rereading. Period. Amar Rav Amrachanu underlined, Amar Rabbi Yochanan circled Rabbi Yochanan. He comes to marshal the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rishon Gamliel and our Mishnah. That machlokas, where Tanakama says don't touch it, or Shumlil says you can sell it, but if they based in, is Bekedei Chesreinan, when there's it's within the realm of a reasonable loss going on to this, to these Peros. Aval Yos Mekedei Chesreinan, if it's a greater loss than that, says Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei HaKol, I dot underline Divrei HaKol, and put an arrow in the margin pointing down, we're going to want to refer back to this when we get to the wide lines near the bottom. So Divra HaKol, everyone, even the Tanakhama would say, Meichran Bebeistin. Okay, that's Rav Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we had two opinions in what the Tanakhama, with the reason of the Tanakhama. Ad Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Vaday Pligi. For sure, Rabbi Yochanan would be in contradistinction. In other words, he would disagree with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that the whole concern was a Truma Meiser concern. Kama. The Gemara wants to know, though, Ad Rav Kahana, Milema Pligi. Do we like have to say that they argue? Maybe they don't argue. And the Gemara answers, no. Ki kama Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana said his din that a person would prefer his own stuff than a lot more somebody else's stuff, that's be kedei chesreinan kamar. Kedei chesreinan is, it's definitely not 88%. It might be 3%, 5%, 10%. Rashi gives the shear as being 9.5 kav per core. Okay. So the Gemara then asks, though, if it's kedei chesreinan, but if you literally look at what Rav Kahana said, a person would prefer his own measure than 9 times that of his friend. The Gemara says, yeah, 9-to-1 ratio is a lot, but and it's a guzma balma. That's an exaggeration. A person would clearly prefer his 9 times something else than 1 time of his own thing. Mesve, we have the snake source that we're going to bring as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Says the snake source, Lefikach, Balabais Oisoisan Truma Umaiser al Malkoim Acher. This is the same snake source we had about 10 lines ago. And therefore, the owner of this produce, who deposited it with somebody else, can declare it Truma Umaiser al Malkoim Acher. Well, how can you do that? Why shouldn't you be concerned that maybe the produce they deposited was getting very moldy or very eaten by the rodents, vizavninu, and the guy deposited with sold it, v'kachal tavolim. And then our buddy over here, Al, is going to be eating untithed produce. He thinks the stuff that he has is going to be covered by the stuff he deposited with Bob, but Bob already sold that. Well, the Gemara says, Yerisir mikadei chesreinan loy shkiach. To have produce losing more than the typical standard loss is very uncommon. Okay, so the Gemara asks, though, V'i mishtachachi, let's say it does happen. My, what are we going to say if you're the one, if you're a Bob who has this produce deposited with you? Mizavnin alehu, we should sell it. But shouldn't we v'lechu shem asan balabayis trumu maiser ha-malkoy macher? Shouldn't you be concerned that the fellow who deposited with him, Al, declared this stuff to be Truma Meiser HaMalkoy Macher? Well, says the Gemara, okay, let's say he even did that. Ki mizavnina nami, when we sell it, we don't sell it to anyone. We sell it specifically to Kaihanim. So even if it was made Truma, it would be to a Kohen. A Kohen's allowed to eat Truma. Because of Kaihanim, now even though you're going to get a lesser a price for it, because, I mean, Kohanim will pay for Truma, but not close to as much as, you know, Chulin is worth. Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim, it can only be eaten when they're in a state of Tara. So he, the Kohanim bid to make Truma, Mizavnilhu, that's who you sell this stuff to. Kamalur Nalbar Yitzchak Nami. Well, then go back to Nachman Yitzchak. Why don't you also say Mizavnilhu Kohanim bid to make Truma? We didn't say that. Well, Baha, Pligi, this is the machlokas between Rav Bar Chana versus Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. I circled the Rav Bar Chana over here, and 6 lines later, the last words on the line of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I circled that. So Rav Bar Chana savar, yoisim ikidei chesreinan, loy shchiach midi. To have produce start to rot or be destroyed more than kidei chesreinan is really uncommon. V'chimish tachach, and when it does happen, lekamei, it's only after significant time has passed that you get to that point. And therefore, if the Al who deposited this stuff with Bob now declares this stuff to be Truma Meiser for some other things that he has, he definitely did that chronologically before. He did that, I don't know, a week later, 3 weeks later, but not 6 months later when it's starting to go bad. Hilkach, therefore, ki havalu yois mikdechas reinan, if you have more than what's considered standard, I guess, operating losses in the produce, nizavninu lekohanim b'dmei truma. So he should sell it, the Bob, who is the one who has it right now, to Kohanim for whatever the value of that type of produce in Truma is. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who we circled so far, yes, actually, Mishka Shchichi, it is somewhat common. V'chi havu lehu, and when it does happen, it seems like it's almost something intrinsic, and maybe it's the humidity. La'alter hu davu lehu, it happens pretty quickly. Now, the Yemers and Zavnina, if you were going to say to this fellow that had it deposited with him, Bob, then Zimn de Kadim Mazvalhu, you never know, Bob might go and sell it. He thinks he's doing something good. And when the owner declares that that stuff that Bob has, which he doesn't know that Bob actually sold, but Bob sold it and it's already gone, he declares that Truma Maisa Malkamacher, Lo Yada de Zavni's, not going to have any idea that Bob sold it, Vikalchel Tavalim, and he, Al, will end up eating Teva. Period. Meisve. We have a Tanaic source now that goes till the last word in the thin lines. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines exactly. And it's going to end up being a question on Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Tanaic source. Hamavket Paris Eitzel Chaveres, someone who deposited produce with another person, let's say Al deposited with Bob. They hear Kivu and they rotted a bit. Or Yayin Vehichmitz, he deposited wine and it got sour, vinegary, fermented, shemen vehivish, oil, and it became like spoiled. Dvash vehidvish, dvash is probably not bee honey. Bee honey is actually one of like the greatest preservatives nature ever blessed us with. It's, I believe, date honey, which can go bad. If you are the one who has a deposit with you, you shouldn't really touch it. We box from Meir v'Chachamim. We also box the Chachamim. The Chachamim Meirim. Oyselahem takanu meichron beis. Now you should do something beneficial for this situation and sell them in the presence of a court. Not only in the presence of a court, but even when you sell it, you got to sell it to someone other than yourself in the presence of the court. Because shu meichron. When he, the one who had it deposited by him, sells them, meichon la'achayrim, to others, veino meichon la'atzmai, but not to himself, it looks maybe potentially a little bit fishy, or he was no gebedover. Kama, kiyoitze, but similarly, gabayit staka, charity, communal charity collectors, bizman shein lehem aniyim, they look around, and I mean, Baruch Shem is a good situation, they have no aniyim to give it out to, so now they have this cash, and it's usually in like small denomination coins, like prutas, so they can use all those prutas, which they don't last as well as like silver coins. They'd go bad quite quickly. So he can trade them in for silver coins with others, but not himself. Gaboy tamchui, those who collect actual like food things to give to the people who need food. Bisman shenle money, let's say there's no poor people lechalek to divvy it out to. Then meichran, so you sell it. But it's la'achayrim ve'in meichon la'atzman. Can't sell it to themselves, they have to sell it to other people. That's the end of the Tanaic source, and the main thing we want to focus on now, which is what the Gemara focuses us on, ketani mia, here's a two-word quote from the first line of the Braisa, peirois v'hirkivu. Peirois v'hirkivu, and it seems like it's machlokas between the Remeir and the Chachamim. Now, up above, we had been told by Rabbi Yochanan, divra ha'kul, your Meichron based in, and here we see a Machlokas Remeir and the Chachamim, my love, that Remeir and the Chachamim are arguing, I feel, yes, Mikidechas Reinan, even if the stuff is getting like a significant loss, and that's the question on Rabbi Yochanan. And just the Gemara, lo, Bikidechas Reinan, it's where the loss is only up until but not including greater than the standard understood loss. Really? Zaha, but the Tanaic source gave a number of examples. Yain Vehichmet, Shemen Vehivish, Dvash Vehidvish. Those expressions, those different items, seem to indicate that yes, Mikidechas Reinan, Ninu, those definitely seem to be greater than Kidechas Reinan. Well, says the Gemara, not really, because Shiny Honey, those things are different. The wine, I'm assuming the olive oil, and the date honey. Why Kevan de Kam? Kam. Once they became what they had to be. Calm, then that is it. In other words, they only rot or go bad to a certain point, and then they basically stop. And Ramir sees no need, therefore, to sell the things off. Period. Shaman v'hidvish, dvash v'hidvish. So two of the examples we had was oil that went rancid or bad, honey that became like icky or moldy, lost its good taste. Lamai Chaz, what do you do with either of those two things? Well, you actually have things that would be done with them. Shemen, the oil kadeh, chazi le galdoi, the leather workers are always in need of oil. They could use it. And the dvash, the date honey, le ketisha de gamli, it's very beneficial on wounds or sores that camels have, often where the saddle rubs against the camel. It's medicinally beneficial. Period. We had said before, you sell them under the courts. My takana, takanasa avilhu. What was the takana? What was the benefit here? Amravashi lekankanim. That, you know, if you let something go a little bit bad, you can kind of spill it out or pour it into a different container. You still have the barrel, but if you let it go bad for a long time, it'll ruin the barrel. Also, that's what we're talking about here. Well, b'mai kam miflugi. What then is being argued about by Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, since Rav Meir agrees if it's more than Kadei Chasreinam? Well, you know what they're arguing about? Rav Meir Safar Lehefsa Meruba Chashashu. We're concerned with something that might be a significant loss, like more than Kadei Chasreinam. Havar Lehefsa Muat, but just that the barrel might not be able to be reused, like Chashashu, we're not concerned about. Whereas Mar Safar the Rabbanan, Afilu Lehefsa Muat, Nami Chashashu, that we're concerned even for a lesser potential loss, like the barrel being unusable again. The Mishnah said, "Shukam le'olamer yimachram basin, sell them in the court. Bimnei shehu kameishu aveda lebailim." It's as though you're like returning something that rightfully belongs to its owner. Itmar, Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, I underline number Rabbi Yochanan. I circle Rabbi Yochanan. Says the halacha in our Mishnah is like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. The Rav Amar Rav Nachman, I underline that name halacha kedivrei chachamim. Nope, machlokes is who we paskin like. Okay, but at least according to Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yankov, and then Rabbi Yochanan, we go like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. The Gemara says, 1 second, don't we know that already from something Rabbi Yochanan already told us? In other words, but in a different way. V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan Chadazim, he already told it to us once. Da'amar, and underline the name, Rabba Bar Chana, and circles Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Malkaim, anywhere in the entire Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Sheshan Rosh Hashanah Gamliel B'Mishnah Seinu, that Rosh Hashanah Gamliel's opinion pops up in our Mishnayas, halacha kamaisa. The halacha is always like him, except for three cases, none of which are ours, except for the case of an arev, tzidain, and rayach reina. Okay, so if Rabbi Yochanan already told us that general principle that we always pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, except those three cases, what do we need Rabbi Yochanan piping up over here to say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? We already know that, do we not? And the Gemara answers, Amarayin Nenu, Bali B'Rabbi Yochanan. It's actually a later generation of Amarayik Machlokas. As what the earlier generation of Yochanan hold, did he give a, like, across-the-board rule? We always, except for those three cases, go like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Or, like, on a case-by-case basis, he told us halacha was like that. Kama. Now, Midr Rabban Shem Gamliel, I underlined his name, Nishma Demayridin Karl Nechse Shavui. From that which Rosh Hashanah Gamliel said, that apparently we're concerned, we don't want there to be a loss, that we will let a relative go see to the assets, like the land, like the fields, of somebody who had been taken captive, because we're concerned about a loss. And midrabanan, and the rabbanan nishma de eimer reading kav nechse shavu. The rabbanan didn't give that heter, and therefore we'd say we'd follow through here when it comes to fields of a person who's been kidnapped. Umi Maya asked the Gemara, how do we know that? Dilma, maybe I can like Hamarab Shem Gamliel Hacha when it comes to selling the peros. Ella Mishum de Kalya Karna. If somebody gave you peros and you're selling it, the peros are the principal and you're selling all of it. You're basically destroying the Karen. Aval Hasam, we're talking about land. Hachinami Dein Maridin. Could very well be that we would not let somebody come out. The land is always going to be the land. Land doesn't get ruined, at least not a total loss. Ve'ad kan loy kamri rabbanan hacha, and the rabbanan only say they're doing when it comes to perasela e karev kani karev nachbar yesak, the two ways we had to explain the Mishnah. Aval hasam, when we're talking about the land, hachinami demaridin, they're like, for sure, you would let relatives come and oversee things. Okay, and the Gemara then asks then, is that seems to imply, pretty straightforward, that Trey Tami Ninu. There's two underlying reasons. V'amar Rav Yehuda, the thing is that Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, underlined Shmuel, and called it A, the halakhsaka Shemgam Liel. In other words, sell the fruit. V'amar Shmuel, underlined Shmuel's name, and called it B, Mayridin Karav Nechse Shavui, which seems to be that, again, you get involved. Lav Mishum Dechad Taimahu, should we not say that that's the case because it's one reason? As the Gemara Lo, Trey Tami Ninu, two different reasonings. Hachanami Stavra to say this, two different reasonings. Damarav Amarav Nachman, I circle Rav Nachman. In our Mishnah, he says the halacha is like Divrei Chachamim. V'amar Rav Nachman, another Rav Nachman, my reading Karov v'nichsei Shavui. Ela Shema Mina, if on the one hand the halacha is like our Mishnah, like the Chachamim, and on the other hand, we will allow a relative to deal with the estate of somebody been taken captive. Ela Shema Mina Trei Tami Ninu. We can conclude from here that there's two reasons. Shema Mina. Itmar, Shavui Shenishpa. That's the topic. It'll preoccupy us for a while, definitely past this year. If you have somebody who was taken captive, he's got land, what happens? What can you do? What can't you do? Well, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav, who I circled here, and Shmuel I circled at the end of the line. Rav says, Ein Mayridin Karv L'Nechasav. We do not allow the person who is basically next in line to like inherit, should this person who was taken captive die. We do not let him take on the field. And Shmuel, who we circled on, we're reading Karan and Chasav. No, we will let that person see to the field. Comma. Now we got to qualify this. Bishasham Boishamase, where we don't have like a full, like Shnei Adim, but we heard that the person who was taken captive actually died. Kuliamalai Pligi Dimaridin. For sure, you let the relative come and see to the field. Let's see. Like, what could happen? Well, the Bailim can come back. And then if the Bailim comes back, this fellow will get, you know, whatever like a sharecropper would get. And if Adim come and that tell us they died, then anyway, he inherits it all for himself. Ki pligi, the machlokas is bishaloi shamu by shemes. I double underline the bishaloi, where the guy was taken captive and we really haven't heard what happened to him. Colon. Rav, who underlined Amarei Marid, and we do not let the close relative who stands to inherit take over the field. Why Dilma Mifsidi Lahu? Maybe he won't work it properly, and he'll constantly overplant it and overwork it, and that would not be good. Whereas, now, that's not saying we won't let somebody else come and see to it, a court-assigned overseer, just not this person. Whereas Shmuel, who we underlined Amar, Mayridin, that we will let that close relative take over. Why? Kevin Damarmar, since we know that either way, even if like the rightful owner comes back from captivity, the one who was working it gets part of the produce of the field, that Shaiminan Lahu to the relative. We make an assessment like an aris, let's say either half or third or fourth, whatever the typical sharecropper gets. Therefore, it can't really assume, and it doesn't really even make sense that this fellow would overwork or cause a loss for the field. I missed you, Lahu. Meisvei, we have a snake source that goes for three lines plus two words, and it seems to indicate otherwise. This snake source says, Rabbi Elezer Oimer, you have a pasuk in the Shmais Chaf Beis, and it says that, you know, if you're not doing what Hashem said, then v'chara api, v'harakti eschem, the Lord saith, my wrath will be kindled, and I'll kill from amongst you. Basically, you'll die. Now, if a person dies, we know that his wife becomes a widow and his children become orphans. Yoideani. That's usually what happens when somebody dies. So I would notion as Shaysem Almanais Ubanayam Yisaimim, that their wives are widows and their children become orphans. That's what happens when a person dies. Elamatam Alemar, why then does the Pasuk have to go on and speak it out? And Vahayuna Shaysechem, and your wives will be widows and your children will be orphans. Well, because it's teaching a different point. Their wives are going to want to remarry, but the rabbinical establishment won't let them because the people don't actually know if the husband is dead or not. That's the thing. Ubaneim, and here's the reason why we brought in the snake source, and their children, roitzim leiraid, I double underline the word leiraid, they're going to want to go down the nichse avien to their father's
assets, father's fields, to like take care of things, ve'ein me'nichin oisan, and the rabbinical establish won't let them. Now that would be a question on Shmuel, who said that, no, you let the relative go and see to it. Well, why does snake source say no? Well, because the snake source is not just talking about letting the close relative, who's the heir, go down and see to the field. You're not allowed to go down and sell the field. Amarava leirid velimkor tznan. The tznan source we just finished reading is where the close relative, the one who stands to inherit the heir, wants to sell the field. That he's not allowed to do. So to go down and work it, absolutely, totally fine. But to go down and sell it, no. Havi uvda, it once happened in the city of Nahardo, Pashta Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes concluded a case that once came before him, Meha Masnisin, from the Tanaic source we just read, that you would not let the heir see to the field. Amalei Rav Amram, I know Rav Amram, Rav Amram says to Rav Sheshes, well, Dilma Leirid V'Lim Kortzanan. The same thing that we had said, that no, maybe that which is usher is for the close relative to come and sell the field, but maybe to go down and work it would be fine. Interesting response now, Rav Sheshes says to Rav Amram, well, Amar Lei, Dilma Mi Pumbedisa. Maybe you're from the city of Pumbedisa. Dime'ailin Pila Be'kufa Demachta. That they are able to squeeze an elephant through the eye of a needle. Now, that sounds not like very straight, clear type of logic, but if there's anything that you have to push through, it's, say, elephant through the eye of a needle, exclamation point, comma, v'had dumya d'nishay sam, ketani. But one sec, we said the case was similar to their wives. What do we know about a wife who's left and the husband? We don't know what happened to him. Ma hasam, just like by the wives, kla loy, like she cannot remarry at all because she might be a married woman. Af hacha, so to the kids, it has to be nami, kla loy, not at all. Not to go down into the field and be able to sell it, not to go down the field even to be able to work it. Period. And this issue of Mayridin Karv Lenichse Shavui, let's say where we didn't hear that the fellow passed away, the one who was taken captive, that which we will or will not let a relative see to the field, is a tanoi he designed. It's a machlokas tanoim, as we will see right now in the following brice. The brice goes till the bottom of this amud, not including the last line. So it starts here. We're going to have three scenarios. Hayerit, and I put a diamond on nichse shavui. Three lines later, the last two words in the line, Nichse Netushim, I put a diamond around. And four lines below that, the first two words on the line are Lenichse Ritushin, I put a diamond around that. So three categories here. Here's the first. Hayari Lenichse Shivuyin. Somebody who goes to see to the assets of a person who's taken captive. Ein Moitzin Ose Miyadai, we will not seize it away from that person. Veloyoy, not only that, Ela Filu Shama she mimash machine uboy, and that the person, that the rightful owner, is actually headed back to town. I guess he's either escaped or he's been released. Vekadam vetalash vachal, and this fellow, he quickly tried to pick a little bit of the fruit and eat it. Harezeh zariz v'niskar. That's fine. He's basically considered somebody who's on the ball, and it's his benefit. Ve'eluhin yichzei shvuyin. What would be an example of assets or things that a person who was taken captive could have? Hareishai aviv, ayachiv, ayechad min hamarishin, halchul lehen lemedinas hayam. One of the close relatives went overseas, v'shamu, and we heard, I know, and v'shamu behen she mace, and we heard that that person died. Now this is not the case where Rav and Shmuel had the machlokas. Let's keep reading. Kama, hayuru lenichse nitushim. Someone goes to take over abandoned, I guess, a field. Moitzin oisemi yadai there, and I dot underline those three words. We will seize it away from that person. Ve'eluhe nichse netushin. So what are nichse netushin? Literally, assets or fields that are abandoned. Well, hareisha haya avivayachiv ayechad min hamarishin. Either the person's father or brother or one of those that he would inherit from. I double underline the low and single underline the shamu. We did not hear You just know he's overseas. We did not hear that he passed away, and the corresponding arrow would be over here. And that is the case that Rav and Shmuel argue about 15 lines ago. The Amar Shem Gamliel, so Shem Gamliel says, Shamati Shahanetushin Ke Shevuyin. He heard, interesting lashon here, that netushin, the assets that we're just discussing, are like shivuyin. In other words, ein mitzin. We would not take the relative force them out of this field. And a third case, hayor the nichse re tushin, somebody who has been gone down to assets that are re tushin. Mitzinay se miyodei, there we will say, sorry, Charlie, you got to leave. Ve'eluhain, what are nichse re tushin? Either his father's brother or one's Marishin. He's here, and we don't know where he went. Now, what are the difference between Netushin, which kind of translated as abandoned, or Ritushin, which is abandoned? Let's see the bottom Rashi. So, one line underneath the Gemara, right at the end, Rashi says, Dibramaschal Nixin Netushin, Shanachasim Ritushin. Interesting, Rashi's defining netushin as retushin. And Rashi gives, though, a little bit of a heads up here. L'kamah farshu, I double underlined in the Rashi, retushin mashma she'azum b'lemidatam. That's where the implication is that the owner left knowingly and willingly v'halchulahin. Tekevan tehaya loy litzaveis, he should have said, like, you know what, let my heirs see to it, and didn't. It must be that he doesn't want that. As opposed to netushin, which I double underline, basically, probably like taken kidnapped, bushwhacked. They're not here anymore, taken into captivity, and that's machlokas tanoim. In that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that you let the close relatives see to it, go into the field and start working, and the Rabbanan say no. Okay, now, Maishna Hanach Dekarluhu Nitushin, Maishna Hanach Dekarluhu Retushin, we kind of already started on the Rashi, but the Gemara asks, so what's the difference between the two? And the Gemara explains, and with this we will conclude, netushim is de bal korchai. Netushim implies that which the owner is not here is kind of like he was forced away. Maybe he was kidnapped. Dichsiv, like the pasuk, uses that term when it's describing the produce of the sabbatical year, of the Shemitah year, v'hashvish tishmetena unetashta, which is kind of like, didn't have a choice. It got forced away, namely, Afkasa de Malka. That's what the king says. And obviously the king wants what's best for us, so we listen to it. But why? Because that's what the king says. Whereas, Retushim demi da'atan. That's where a person willingly left. He knew he left. Why? Doesn't make a difference. But he knew. He wasn't taken into captivity. Dichsiv, like the Pasuk in Hoshea indicates, when it says, Eim al banim rutasha. In the context of the pasuk, it's pretty clear that is with the da'as of the person in question. Adkan.